Anyway. And a one, and a two, and welcome to the Tales from the Long Box podcast. This is episode 124, Spotlight on DC Comics Forever Evil, number two.
Number two,
I am Chris Mosby.
I'm Caleb Gerard.
And I am Murray Fox.
Welcome back, Murray.
I'm back.
Since you weren't here, we only had like two downloads the last episode.
What?
No, I'm just kidding. Sorry.
That's crazy talk.
Well, we're glad to have you back.
You're the dread to the draw.
Totally. That's it.
Mm-hmm. So, forever. It's been a while since I read this, actually. Trying to think what was big in it. Oh, yeah. Okay. Luthor and...
At least on the cover, Johnny Quick's head is very big.
I was just going to say that cover.
Yeah, I don't get that either. What's the... I don't understand. It's I don't know if that's a helmet or his head or... I don't know.
Maybe on Earth 3, when you run really, 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 really fast, mm-hmm. your head kind of stretches out behind you like speed lines.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes perfect sense.
Mm-hmm.
He came out natural childbirth, and it never quite leveled out.
Yeah, that would be interesting.
Yeah, I don't love.
You know, now I think about it. Don't those speed skaters in the Olympics have funky helmets like that? It's like an aerodynamics thing.
Oh, you know what? I bet that's it. It's just poorly. It's poorly. He should. I'm sure that's it. I'm sure you're right.
It just hit me all of a sudden, so... Yeah. Okay. Trying to see him in the... Yeah, because it sticks out there pretty heavy. Oh, yeah. It goes out there pretty heavy.
It is not something you want to spend a lot of time looking on.
No, huh? Okay, so here we are.
You know what they say about a man with a big helmet?
It's compensating for something?
I actually don't know what they say. Can someone help me out here?
You got me there, man.
No, okay.
Right. You can just Google that. Big helmet.
Oh, yeah. That'll go over well. Don't do it at work, folks. So, Forever Evil number two. On the cover, we have Ultraman, Superwoman, and Johnny Quick.
And you know, that's a nice picture of Superwoman.
Yeah, it is.
Look at that face. She looks all clean and fresh-faced.
Yeah, we haven't, she's hasn't done anything like she did in that Earth 2 hardcover that Morrison did with Frank Quitely. At least not yet. So
usually she has, like really bad crow's feet and stuff like that going on.
Yeah, she doesn't look like that.
This one? She
not yet, anyway.
Catwalk. She's like all... Mm-hmm. Fresh faced.
And I guess, I don't know, I don't think you see that till number three, but I guess that's Lois Lane in this universe.
Look at this. I don't want to spend like all day on the cover here, mm-hmm. but Wonder Girl and Solstice are as built as Superwoman in this picture here, and they're just teenagers.
Well, they blossomed.
And they're
very,
on their back.
Very early.
Yeah, they're on their back, so, that adds, anyway.
Well, no, that should be in there. Not to get too physics majory on you guys, but it should be going out, not up.
Yeah, true. Which, I don't know how. I don't think Solstice is human, but I don't know. I haven't read that.
No, Solstice is human. She's very human.
Okay. Yeah. So yeah, Red Robin's over there, and Superboy, and Kid Flash, and. They're all unconscious. And
Flash looks like someone's got pee in his mouth.
Okay.
I'm done. I'm sorry. I apologize in advance.
So. Yeah, that, yeah. Okay, let's move on. So we start off, I don't know how much detail we want to get into, but anyway, Lex Luthor's talking to himself again, and there's a nice little rat caught in a trap thing while he's talking about that. He's think they caught all the rats. Oh, by the way, I guess I'm doing this. I don't know if I want to get into all that. You know, he's stroking his own ego there. He's kind of doing, say, you know, quotes from famous people and so basically he's saying this quote, he translates the quote can two different ways, translated two different ways. Either you keep your head down and you accept your, I don't know what the hell that word is, fate.
Obsequious?
Okay, I didn't know how to pronounce it. Or you use your brain and challenge it. The world is weak-willed and has done the former. They don't want to rock the syndicate's boat. It's up to me to sink it. So he's sneaking around with a flashlight looking all Constantine. And there's all the screens around there. The world is ours, which is...
Where is he? Is he at the...
He's in his Lex Tower. Remember he crashed at the end of the first one?
Right. Where the helicopter went into the windows, right?
Yeah. And Ted Kord's father, took a dive.
Nice. Thank you for the reminder.
Okay. Yeah. And so he's moving around in there and trying to get to secret labs and stuff. And here this Mr. Luthor, is that you? And he's, who's there? And here a little throwback to the Superman movies. My name's Otis, sir. I'm one of your security guards. And we're talking, kids, we're talking about the ones from the 70s, not these last two. So if you don't know what we're talking about, then that's why. But anyway.
We're talking Christopher Reeve. We're talking Ned freaking Beatty.
Yeah, yes. So, yeah, they've got Otis as the guard here. He says the light's not working, no AC. No power, except for these screens, and he's, you know, the world is ours. So, cut to San Francisco, and the Teen Titans are talking about it. It's even on my phone. Whoever they are, they can't really have killed the Justice League. Then where are they? So anyway, they're getting suited up, and they're going to the Watchtower to get Nightwing.
I'm curious where the lighting is coming from for this scene. Is there? There's supposed to be no power.
A good point. Well, it's coming from the screens, I think. They've got power to the screens. They've got that big screen behind them.
Oh, okay.
All right. Superboy's like, hey, I don't want to be negative, but if they kill the Justice League, why would they leave Nightwing alive? And Red Robin says, and very smartly, why would they reveal his identity if they were just going to kill them? If there are other heroes out there, they can still fight. They'll be headed to the Watchtower to confront this crime syndicate. So they're standing around Raven saying they're evil Justice League, Robin literally. Kid Flash is like, what's that mean? Where do they come from? And they're like back and forth. He's saying, you know, Superboy's like, you know, who cares? What could we do? He says, we can fight till our dying breath. He says, you sound like Batman. And he tells Superboy, and I love this one, you need to start acting like Superman instead of Superboy. Oh, burn! #burn.
Uh-huh. And that's, real quick, just as a refresher, don't forget, at the end of issue one, the Justice League is gone, and they unmasked Nightwing as some doofus named Dick Grayson, who absolutely nobody knows who he is. So
right,
which I think is to Jeff Johns' credit, is a great thing to do. It's like, oh, who's this guy?
Yeah,
I think Curry, you mentioned that.
Well, yeah, and that kind of goes along with some of the last arcs of his solo series. He's never really cultivated the Richard Grayson as an identity. You know, and that's what he was trying when, what's his name? The guy that does Batman and Robin.
Tomasi,
yeah. He wrote Nightwing for a while, which is one of the best arcs. That was before Flashpoint. He was trying to be Richard Grayson some, you know, Dick Grayson, and, you know, and of course, you know, it was canceled, so whatever. But anyway, so it says if if the world, you know, he's saying Red Robin's, if the world knows that Richard Grayson is Nightwing, it's only a matter of time until someone figures out the rest of us, which is kind of kind of great. I mean, yeah, that's not good. I mean, so anyway, let's see, Gotham, you got all the villains in Gotham. You got that some freaking bunny, White Rabbit, I guess, Mr. Pig, and
White Rabbit.
So you got some Bane villains in Mad Hatter. They're, you know, oh, the bats are gone, the crows are here. Anyway,
David Finch said he would do the series if he was allowed to draw White Rabbit in every issue.
Yeah.
She's made her appearance, so.
Yeah. Let's see. What's that thing's name again? Core? That robot? Or the virus? What the hell's its name? Forget.
The anti-cyborg?
Yeah.
The anti-cyborg, it's...
Crap!
No.
It's not crap.
I think it's like it's Core or something like that. Cortex? No, that's Firefly. Anyway, the anti-cyborg is talking. The abrupt shift in gravity resulting from the eclipse was caused tidal waves, triggered earthquakes, and sent the world into a panic. And if you remember last issue, that's because Ultraman moved the moon, so a good part of the world would not have sunlight since he's allergic to it.
Poor guy.
Yeah, I know. Without power,
hand.
Yeah, without power communications, the military and law agencies are split, reacting to these disaster zones and confronting our army of supervillains. And let's see, we cut to Central City. You see the Rogues about to face off against the secret society, which is covered in the series Rogues Rebellion tie-in series, which is actually pretty good. And then you got, let's see, yeah, they're kind of, yeah, the Gotham scene, there's being covered in the Arkham War, I believe it's called, Peter Tomasi. That's a really good series too. All the, Gotham villains kind of split the Gotham up with, the Penguin as the mayor, and then Bane comes in to, take over. It's, interesting. Washington, D.C., looks like Deathstroke.
Grid.
Grid, that's it. I knew it was something like that.
Sorry.
No, that's fine. You got Deathstroke and some other chick is heading for the White House. That's their deal. That little battle's covered in the Argus series, the Forever Evil Argus. Not too bad either. I'm actually reading that one too.
Wow, you're like a crossover junkie right now.
Yeah, I'm reading all of it. And there's you can actually see the ties in. You don't necessarily need it. I'm even reading Suicide Squad. I am not reading that Pandora, which is pretty much the whole purpose of her. What the hell? Somebody put you in a box?
Not me.
Okay.
Ain't nobody putting me in a box.
So let's see.
Yeah,
but it's got Steve. That's got Steve Trevor in it. But Pandora and Phantom Stranger, I'm skipping those, which those aren't really even tie-ins.
I want to check out Phantom Stranger just as a side because it's got Philip Tan in the art, and I really dig his art. So I may have to check it out.
Yeah, I might throw that on there. Let's see. Aside. Yeah. Let's see. So you see some talking. Not really sure who it is yet, but it's Owlman and Donnie Quick are talking. And Owlman says, we need to keep the military and law agencies intact to put our own people in charge, which that's actually a good plan. He's going, what are you talking about, Owlman? We waste everyone, pure, simple, and exhilarating. Owlman says, if we're going to control this world, Johnny, we need an infrastructure to work with. It's a very valid point. I think that's what Batman would do.
Mm-hmm.
So they're in the watchtower that's laying on its side.
All along the watchtower.
Okay. Now they're talking. He's like, that's how it worked in Gotham. So, you know, they're talking. he's saying, okay, Gotham Newsflash, this isn't Gotham, and it's a brand new Earth, and we already control it. Look at those black spots on Grid's map. And Alfred's Secret Society is ripping through anyone dumb enough to put up a fight. So anyway, Hal's talking, that Green Lantern or Power Ring, he's no will whatsoever. I like the way they played that. Let's see, and they're talking back and forth, blah, 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 blah. He wants to go beat the crap out of him and Atomica. They just want to go kill people, which, if I remember correctly, he gets his speed from stealing life force from people.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I believe that's the thing. You see, when he attacks Iron Heights, you see him, like, you see the lightning things, and they just turn to dust, and I think that's where he gets his powers from. So anyway, they're arguing back and forth. You know, Ultraman says, we don't have the time to play, blah, 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 blah. They're like, F you, we're going to go kill people. And I'm off
gonna to go. Going to go on a date. It's date night.
Yeah. So Superwoman says she would go after them, and he says, no, Superwoman, unlike us. Oh, wait, excuse me. She says to Ultraman, unlike us, those two have been apart for too long. Let them get it out of their system. And then you see this wonderful little, what is his name again? Deathstorm? Yeah, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And he's talking to him. It's starting to hurt again. The ring's doing something. I don't feel so good. Can you get it off now that we're here? So he looks at him. He looks at the ring. And it's like there's these green things going up his neck. And he's like having to hold his hand. I guess he can't hold it up on his own. And he tells him, let's give it one more week. And there's something going on there, obviously.
I like the dynamic there, and I like how the Deathstorm character is actually just Professor Stein. I think that's it.
Yeah, it is Professor Stein, isn't it?
Yes.
There's no other person in there.
Nope. We don't know who Power Ring is, but
yeah,
looks replaceable, that's for certain.
Yeah, I think so. That might be the deal. It could be Kyle, for all we know.
In one version, he was Kyle, and there was a version in the hardcover. It was Kyle Rainier for a little while, and then it switched over to Jon Stewart.
Yeah. Then they switched it back. I remember that.
Yeah.
Depending on who wrote it.
No, I mean in the Earth 2 hardcover, they had the.
Oh, was it?
That Kyle Rayner, yeah, I remember this. Kyle Rayner actually found the ring originally and then got toasted into it, and it was given over to Jon Stewart.
Huh, okay. I didn't know that.
Just,
I missed that one.
Sorry,
hold on. No, that's cool. See. Grid says, since I have freed myself of the weak flesh once called Victor Stone, I'm beginning to believe I will soon feel something, what you humans refer to as satisfaction. Ultraman says, I've never felt that, Grid. Are you tracking Jami and Tomica? He says, yes, the random acts of violence and destruction will likely help any resistance the area occupied. But to maintain momentum and order, I am cataloging and prioritizing the uprisings to eliminate per your quest. The one first requiring your attention is Kandanek. So Ultraman goes to the door. How's our hitchhiker doing, Alfred? So we got two people. We don't know who they are. I mean, no, this guy, we don't know who he is, okay?
Yeah, they brought this guy from Earth 3, right?
Yeah. We'll get to that in a minute, because I think Ultraman doesn't want him killed for some reason, but Owlman does. But anyway, Alfred says he's still quite drugged up, Ultraman, and he does that ha just out of the blue. He's like got Tourette's or something. I don't know. Not that there's anything wrong with that. Anyway, says meaning he's been quiet for the most part. Yeah, that's when Owlman walks in and says we should kill him while we have the chance. And he says we might need him, Owlman. Okay. And Owlman says to do what? Tear our team apart? And he replies to throw that thing that. To throw it at that thing that came to our Earth, the thing we barely escaped from, it's coming. Owlman says it's not coming. It couldn't possibly follow us here. And then Ultraman replies, "I thought you always wanted to be repaired. It didn't things we've never seen before, Thomas.
And here's where I predict that we are not going to see the resolution of that conversation until the next big crossover. DC is going to go the route of Marvel, where one big event leads into the next big event, which leads into and so on.
It's very possible.
Jeff Johns is known for that with the Green Lantern stuff. I mean, it was one, mm-hmm. one crazy colored idiocy from to the next on that book.
Yeah.
Not idiocy. I take it back. Some of them were pretty good.
Yeah.
It was it.
Well, yeah.
There was never full resolution.
No, no.
But we don't know what they were running from, right?
We right. assume it was Darkseid. I think they showed that in number 3.
Okay. That's,
oh, spoilers.
Oh, sorry. Spoilers for last month. So this is what I thought was interesting, though. And Owlman gets, he raises his voice and he says it, and this is all in bold, so, you know. But this man should die for what he did to us. And then he's, now let's be done with this. And then Superwoman walks up and says, I agree with Owlman. Ooh.
Of course she does, because she's sleeping with him.
Yeah, we'll find that out.
Spoilers.
Yeah, Ultraman says he lives, Superwoman, and if anyone touches him, they answer to me. Okay, interesting. He's done things we've never seen before. Interesting. Okay, so Ultraman says then Grayson Stevens alive too. Ultraman, what? That pathetic being is a facsimile, Thomas. Ultraman says that's the deal. He replies he's nothing. Interesting. Okay, so. Because this is more interesting than some of the other crap going on. This, what's their deal? Anyway, and he tells Superwoman, never disagree with me in front of him again. Ooh. So Grid says, Ultraman, we have a problem with a group of thieves called the Rogues. They're refusing to join the others in Central City. And he asks, why? I do not know. Tell Deathstorm and Power Ring to take care of it. Power Man Ray refused. Tell him to go, or I'll rip out his tongue. I'm heading to Kandanek. Well, now. Okay, so he flies off, and Owlman says, which, oh, they screwed up. Ultraman is standing behind Owlman, but he just flew off. You see that?
Yes.
That should be Superwoman standing there. Owlman tells Alfred, watch him closely. And he says, of course, and sir, Ultraman was right. He's not the Richard Grayson we knew. And he, ha! Yeah, whatever. And that bugs me. Ultraman can hear the heartbeat, Owlman. He knows. It's only a matter of time before he takes a closer look and realizes it's not his. Ultraman says, by then the proper preparations should be in place. Clark shouldn't be a problem for us anymore. And she says, I want this world, Thomas, for our child. And he takes his hand and puts it on the belly. So then you see somebody says, Superman going to help us, right? And it's Otis and Luthor talking again. And he's going on and on about how great Superman was. He saved his life. And Luthor's like, please stop talking. and he says, I'm nervous. I talk when I'm nervous, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, do you get nervous? That's a stupid question. Please, anyway. Wait a minute, did I skip something? Oh, yeah, I did. I didn't go all the way. Okay, so they're subject B-0. It's not ready. 5 years, damn it. It needs another 5 years. Subject B-O, or B-0, Bizarro. Which, in the Villains Month thing, you saw his first attempt at the clone. Or, I think, actually, no, he merged Klingon. Wrong podcast. Kryptonian DNA with a human, and it, like, the guy exploded, I think. Or something like that. And then they showed at the end of it this B-0. So this was he was going to let it cook for 10 years, but apparently they're not going to do that. So now, we're at the Watchtower, and here's a bunch of tanks and crap.
Hang on, though, just a sec. He says it needs another 5 years.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I can't help but wonder if they're going to have, because they're doing that 5 years later thing.
Oh, that's a good point, which they put some pictures out today of that. And on, I don't remember which website it was, but it looks like everybody but Batman gets Omacified.
Ooh. Huh.
So, that should be interesting.
Yeah, I can't help but wonder if they're going to do something with this clone. Not with this particular clone, because this one's going to get released in a couple of pages. But I wonder if they've got other clones that are kicking around that they can open up in the 5 years and then...
That's a good point.
Yeah, yeah.
Really okay. Nice okay.
Catch, Mr. Fox.
That's a good point, yeah. I wonder if that is tied together. So, yeah.
Or this is going to turn out to be a totally throwaway line.
Could be.
Could be. So, you see a big bunch of military vehicles and cars and stuff, and they're pointing at the Watchtower. Somebody says, how many are there? 10 from Happy Harbor, PA, a dozen from Providence, and another 30 from or so from Castle Hill. Turn on the lights. We don't, turn off the light, out the light. So it's a little late now. We don't want us to see them coming. And then all of a sudden there's a burst of what I would assume is blood spray. The guy's like decimated and his shotgun is all in pieces. And you see Johnny Quick say, they never see us coming, do they, babe? They barely see me, period. And he's like skids to a stop. Then he says, I hope you don't mind, but I borrowed your bullets. And then he throws them at him. You can have them back now. But then all of a sudden, Superboy and the Titans show up, and he melts all the bullets. And then, oh, look, your favorite, babe. She goes, children. That's just creepy. So anyway, Luthor's talking about this thing. What's in there, Mr. Luthor? So when I began this process, I knew it would take a decade to properly clone a being from the single cell of Kryptonian blood I collected. And if I'm not mistaken, that was like back in Action Comics, you know, real early.
I think so. They experimented or something on him, right? So
yeah, I think the blood came from when he was fighting one of those, I don't know, one of the many things that Morrison had him go up against. But with the power out, the solar panels are dark. The protein fluids are already breaking down. It'll die anyway. It's only been 5 years, but I have no other choice. So he's the thing. There's this white skin deal, which, you know, longtime readers would recognize that as like a Bizarro, that's what the original Bizarro was. And he's like, oh my god, calm down, Lois. And it's, much like I am in the morning. It's a monster, Otis says. Creature, can you understand me? I am Lex Luthor. I am your creator and programmer, and you will listen to every word and carry out every command I utter. So let's test this creature. Points at Otis and says, kill him. What? And it just says, her?
Not said, a moment too soon.
Yeah, I said, kill him. And it's like, her? What? So then Otis takes a fire at him, and of course it bounces off of him, and he's kind of smoking, and he just goes, her? And Luthor's like, damn it, listen to me, kill that man now! And then Otis puts the gun on Luthor and says, screw you, Luthor! And then that's when, as soon as he puts the hammer back, that thing jumps at him, and pounds him into a paste, or something similar. And he says, yes, that'll do. Now come, and he gets a suit, you see him get his Superman suit out. So anyway, it's not going well for the Titans. A big cyclone is beating the crap out of them. Wonder Girl is, he's tearing through those tanks. We need to save the people inside. And you see Atomica jump for her mouth and says, God, you're annoyingly sweet. Sugar. Like sugar. Coated sugar. And she's like, So, let's see. Johnny Quick grabs on to Kid Flash and let go. And he's like, what is it with you? Your vibrational frequency is way off. When the hell are you from, kid? Because it ain't now. How about we play a little tug of war between the centuries? So he does something to him, and then a big vortex sucks him, which we know now that he screams and Wicked, and he gets sucked to the future. We find out that later. She crawls out of Wonder Girl's mouth, which is very creepy. You made him scream like a girl, and then all of a sudden, Krakoom, oh, take a drink. Oh, wait, that's a different podcast. Never mind.
I have to say, this whole time vortex thing is incredibly, incredibly heavy-handed.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. They, and if you...
I could get the Titans to the future.
Yeah, if you... Okay, in Comixology, they don't do it on the website, which is aggravating, but in the Comixology app, they have a storylines thing. And if you go to the first issue of Forever Evil, and you read through it, it'll show you the next one that's in order, reading order, which is kind of why I've been reading them. And you get through it, and you get to the point where the issue in Titans comes up, where it happens right after this scene. And then you get to the end of it, and it's like all the rest of it doesn't have anything to do with Forever Evil. And, you know, they're doing some kind of Superboy thing. I've seen it on the Legion podcast Facebook page. They've got the Legion over there, I guess. I don't know. I want to check it out, but then again, I don't, you know. So anyway, she's like, what happened? And he says, look at that. This is, I tugged on the brat. The future tugged back. Bye-bye, kitties. And another boom behind him. Huh, I guess they're gone. They're done. Does he say done? Yeah, I read it too fast. And he stands on a big pile of crap. And she's, that was so hot. Let's see how much hotter I can get you, babe. Time to find some more good guys. And off they go into the whatever. Next scene, the somewhat familiar, at least to us old timers, the Luthor battle suit.
What are you saying, man?
I'm just saying. You know, I find it interesting they went to all this trouble to make this whole new universe, but then gradually you see things like this where things are going right back to the way they were. You know what I mean?
The thing,
the tone is way different, but... Anyway, go ahead.
Pre-New 52, did Luthor wear the armor? I wasn't following Superman that closely, so...
And he wore it because he was the president, and
right.
I forget what happened, and then he like put a bounty on Batman and Superman and blah, blah, blah. And then when everybody found out that he was bad, duh, it's like one of the issues of Superman Batman, he wore that suit. And I think he wore it for quite a while after that. So, yeah.
Okay, so, all right.
They did it before Crisis, after Crisis, and now here we are again. All right. So he says, I bought 38 companies to build this. I only needed two more to complete its arsenal, one of them being Court Industries. Court was developing non-lethal weaponry, including a flash gun that was potentially the most powerful mobile solar engine in the world. For now, I'll have to make do without it. Yeah, that flash gun was something that Blue Beetle used, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep, I think we're definitely getting a Blue Beetle back.
Yeah, we very well may. But for now, I'll have to do without it.
We're getting Wally West and Donna Troy? What?
Yeah, I think they said they were going to bring him back, remember?
No.
I read that, Wally at least. They're going to bring Wally back, but you better be careful. They might bring him back as villains. That'd be more like what they do, I'd think, at this point. So anyway, the creature's putting on the Superman suit, which I think is really creepy. That's kind of like the animated version of The Death of Superman. It was, anyway. Since you're putting that on Inside Out, you know, which that's an homage to the Bizarro. And he's like, oh, no matter. I can wait. I can't waste any time. More time. Metropolis is in ruin. The Justice League is dead. Superman is gone. Last scene, this is a job for Lex Luthor, and he's in his battle suit with no helmet, which makes no sense to me. All you gotta do is take his head off, and he's done. Anyway, Bizarro Superman standing behind him going, rrr. And, that isn't the last page. Yeah, it is a cool page, I have to admit.
I like that, the Frankenstein Superman behind him, and,
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Cut to the Red Room in Detroit, Star Labs, most advanced research facility in the world. Let's see. So I forget who he is. That's like Tio Morrow or I don't know.
Yep. Cyborg's dad and Dr. Morrow, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So Morrow. We should be here, Silas. Star Labs' defense system is offline. Security's gotten home to protect their families, and the generators keeping the emergency lights on isn't going to last much longer. We need to go while we still can.
There's a continuity problem here, if you don't mind my pointing out real quick.
Oh, go for it.
I thought in the Argus miniseries that Silas and Tio Morrow were in the Red Room, and this is Star Labs.
Well, the Red Room is at Star Labs.
Oh, is it? Okay. Yeah. All right. Got it.
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, I don't know. They kind of make
next thing down. After he's saying, he's like, we have no idea what's happening out there. Silas says, which is exactly why we need to protect the Red Room, Thomas.
Okay, got it. Never mind.
Yeah, I remember that.
I retract everything I just said.
Yeah, I'm surprised they didn't actually call it the Red Room in that little thing there. If the Justice League is in, if my son is, we owe it to them to do our part. The Red Room contains the most dangerous technology on Earth. That's a little exposition there. Some of us already knew that. But it's only a matter of time until someone who knows that comes knocking on our end. Bam! Bam! And he's like powering up some big cannon. Damn you for always being right, Silas. Bam! Which you'd think it'd be some kind of Superman type hero, but no. Silas says, you've been a good friend, Thomas. I've been a terrible friend. Well, you're a good one now. And boom, and it's Batman and Catwoman and what's left of Victor Stone. Your son needs you, Dr. Stone. And he goes, Victor! He's lost a lot of, I don't know, WD-40. It wasn't blood, Catwoman says.
He's lost a lot of everything. He's lost a lot of legs, a lot of arms, a lot of spine.
Let's see, Tio Morrow, which they don't call him that now. But anyway, you're alive, Batman. Where are the rest of the Justice League? And part of you can see a close-up, and he's only got half his mask, and they didn't make it. Next, Birth of the Injustice League. Dun-dun-dun. So, there you go.
This, if you found a half a body like that, I mean, I've watched enough Walking Dead where it's, you don't just keep the body alive with oxygen.
I don't know. It's Batman. I don't know what else to tell you.
Well, in the other issues that they showed Green Lantern power ringing him into not dying. I'm talking about Victor Stone here. I don't see a green aura around him here.
Yeah, I don't. They don't really explain that either, do they? No. So, anyway, that's the end of that issue. And then they show stuff that's next. We've got Trinity, Arkham War, Suicide Squad, Martian Manhunter's Consciousness is in there. Now, we could go on with the next issue. That's up to you guys. We're at 39 minutes.
I didn't get prepared for another issue.
Well, we were prepared for this one.
Oh, I know. Oh, I get it. I see what you're saying. Give me a minute here.
Yeah.
So,
the Justice League ones are, they've got some cool stuff in there.
Yeah. Oh,
I think put this on the Facebook page. Overall, I mean, this is a fun kind of story, but it's going slowly.
Yes, and it's,
that's the thing. Yeah. Like, especially when they did Trinity War and they kept the chapters pumping out every week.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I find a monthly.
Well, see, that's the thing. They fill in the blanks in those other issues, kind of.
Kind of, but not to a point. But the main series, there's not a ton going on in each issue.
Yeah, it's true.
They're
trying to drag it out like Marvel used to do, or Marvel does, I should say.
There's not a lot happening. Like, so, I don't know. When I think of 7 months of this.
Yeah, I know.
I would rather have it 7 months go by really quick and have them do it,
mm-hmm.
like every week or every other week.
Here's something interesting, though.
I agree with you, Mark.
Yeah. It says here in Trinity of Sin, Pandora number 4, that she gets warped to Earth 3 and she gets a glimpse of our future to be and sets sights on the outsider. That's it. That might be interesting.
But it's Pandora.
I know. I don't want to read it. let's see. Forever Evil, Argus
That's
number
a cheap
1.
Beat, Chris. Come on, man. It's Pandora.
Yeah, I know. Let's see, Justice League 24, who is Ultraman and what is his true mission on Earth? Find out the darkest secrets of the crime syndicate's leader as he ventures across Earth to test this world's strength for his own selfish needs. That was some creepy moments there when he was like after Jimmy Olsen and all that stuff. You remember that?
Yes.
And that's when he went after like Lois Lane, and that's when they's like, you know, you're not like her at all. And you find out, I think, in the third issue of this that his Krypton was very different for sure.
So. Well, that was actually and also I actually prefer the Owlman issue of Justice League.
That one? Oh, okay. Yeah, that's right. I remember that.
Hi. Almost done.
So yeah, that's it for that issue.
It's a quick read.
Yeah, it is kind of a quick read.
They kind of used this issue to just kind of set up, mm-hmm. like they set up the Teen Titans stuff.
Has anybody read any of that?
I haven't really. It's generated story over there, I guess. Like it's they're using this series to move, I guess, both Titans and Superboy along, so...
Uh-huh.
I mean, Titans is getting some storyline. I mean, they could have done the storyline regardless, but I think they've used Forever Evil to jump into whatever their next storyline is, and...
Right.
Think Forever Evil... I mean, don't they kill off... This is where they're killing off Superboy, right, in the future?
Well, that's the thing, are they? Something. I don't know.
Anyway, they're using the story to generate more story for their...
Yeah, because they...
Their stuff...
Yeah, I read the next one in this, and there's a lot of time bouncing around stuff going on for sure. I don't know.
Which issue of Crisis on Infinite Earths was it where it was like setting up? There was an issue that almost felt like it was setting up all the other comics in the DC that were being published by DC at the time. It wasn't number 7, obviously.
I don't remember.
Is it like Wonder Girl and Firehawk go flying off into prehistoric land and a couple of them where they
yeah, stuck, that does sound familiar.
Double off the face. I don't know. Just
I'm trying to remember. Because they did a ton of Crisis crossovers, and I remember the Wonder Girl Firehawk one. I don't remember what comic it was in though.
Well, it was actually an issue of Firestorm. But
was it Firestorm? Oh, yeah. Great.
But then there was also like Blue Devil getting sucked into space and going for that goofy team up with Omega Man.
Right.
There was a Green Lantern throwaway. That's what this all feels like. It's a little throwaway moments that somehow gives.
Yeah, they'll be touched on elsewhere.
Yeah, that's how this issue felt. Here's a bunch of moments that if you really wanted more on them, you have to go buy something else. If you don't, bully.
Yeah,
$4. We continue the story next month.
The new Superboy is like they're supposed to be the son of Superman and Lois, I think. And if you look at it, and they're saying Superboy versus the monster he was cloned from, the son of Superman. And it's got Kitson art in it. Teen Titans Annual number 2, and it shows the Superboy from the New 52 we recognize with his Matrix-y outfit. But the other Superboy that's fighting, he's got kind of a color scheme like the Superboy from the Reign of Superman. The gloves are identical. So are the boots. All he needed a jacket, and he looked just like him. So I'm kind of interested about that.
I skim read that annual. It was okay.
Oh, there's the
back. It's not great. It was Kitson. It wasn't Kitson art per se. It was Kitson layouts. I think.
Yeah, layouts by Kitson. Yeah, I can tell the difference.
Because Kitson's doing Valiant stuff. Mostly,
oh yeah, and he's doing a
Harbinger.
Yeah, he does a great job too.
Yeah, he's. I think he's found his company for the time being. Unless Harbinger totally blows it. So, yeah. I mean, not Harbinger. Valiant totally blows up.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good.
Which doesn't look like they're going to anytime soon.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, I need to catch up on that. I've been buying all the issues, but I haven't read that much. Been dealing with a freak.
Quantum and Woody number 6, one of the best comics for December.
I just have a problem with that blah-ha-ha type stuff. I read the preview, and I think I might have read the first issue, and it just doesn't appeal to me. I don't know. I get a couple of issues in and maybe read them all at once, so I might change my mind.
No, you will not. If that kind of stuff is not going to appeal to you, that is, it's a buddy. Did you ever see, what was that, Billy Crystal and Gregory Hines movie where every other scene was them whipping at each other? They were making jokes every 2 seconds.
Yeah, that was actually good, but I know what you mean, yeah.
That's what this is.
Okay. I don't know. I might look at it.
Maybe. Maybe you'll like it. I don't know.
Yeah.
There's a goat.
Awesome. Okay.
There's a goat in it.
All right. So, we done? We get it all?
I think we did.
Okay, good. I gotta finish with my clogged sink. So, yeah. So, anyway, let's wrap this up. Let's see. As always, you can send us a podcast. Send us an email to podcast@talesfromlogbox.com.
You can send us a podcast.
Anyway, let us know what you think. You can check us out on our Facebook page. Just do a little search for Tales from the Longbox podcast, and you can't miss it. And then, you can also comment on these actual episodes and let us know what you think. And that is it for this week. And we're out.
Welcome back, Murray.
Yes, welcome back. Good to see you, man.
Yes. We're buried under the ice right now.
Yeah, we had a lot of that, too. Oh, what the hell?
Yeah, we're at a tepid 75 degrees here today, so.
Oh, you bastard. All right then.
Yes, but when it's 114 degrees here, I'll be the one crying. You guys can be the one laughing.
Yep.
114 sounds okay. A little hot.
You know what, Murray? It's okay for like a day or three, but when it's 35 straight days.
Yeah, then you need your air conditioning for sure.
Oh my electric bill is. Right now, we're looking at about $30 a month. During the summer, it's more like $200 a month. So.
Yeah. I believe it. Ah, well.
Anyhow.
All right.
Enough